Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening, everyone. Welcome to the Game Week 29 pod of the FPL Wire. I'm your host, Zofa, and I'm joined by my co-host, Late Riser. How's it going, buddy?
Doing good, man. FPL's coming in a week's time. We've both been busy playing a little draft, and have a nice little auction on Sunday, which I'm looking forward to. You know, something I play with friends. We meet on the Sunday at about 6:30, 7 in the evening. We give each other like a kitty of 10,000 points. And you're supposed to build a team of 11 to 15 players, and the auction goes on for 6 to 7 hours. It's brilliant. Brilliant. Really looking forward to it. How's things been?
Things are looking good. Things have been good. Looking sort of forward to the international break. It feels like it's been a lot of football recently. A lot of thinking of things like, you know, not just like, you know, players on the pitch, fixtures, etc., etc. Good to switch off, get into IPL, and then we come back on the other side. It's a final stretch. Looking forward to it.
Thoughts on the big game at the weekend, Liverpool City?
Oh, that was an incredible game. And I watched it with a few friends who don't really watch football, you know, the kind who just watch the odd World Cup matches. And they're just amazed by the intensity and the quality of it. They're like, bro, in the World Cup final, we don't see players working this hard. Every single pass, every single ball is just like so feisty, so into it. Brilliant game. Very, very high quality football.
Yeah, as a neutral, I'm just looking forward to the title race in the next 8 or 9 odd weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's so engaging. Can't wait for the Arsenal City game as well. You know,
that's a big one. See what happens. That's a big one. Which horse are you backing?
So from a point of view of banter, because most of my friends are Liverpool fans, you don't want them winning. Anybody but Liverpool. I wouldn't mind Arsenal winning the title. I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, if you had to ask me, more than I think, I want Arsenal to win the title. Honestly, it's just nice to see, like, you know, young group of players, young coach, and it's been a long time. Arsenal fans have been through the ringer, so it'd be nice to see them come out on top.
Yeah. That said, I still feel like City haven't found their third, fourth, and fifth gear. Like, so, you know, if they do find it, they'll take it home, I reckon. Because it's the experience that counts, being involved in a title race. Been there, done that for 4 out of the last 5 seasons. But anything's possible now.
I mean, the best run-in. After the Arsenal game, the fixtures are quite easy. So Arsenal have to take some points off them.
Yeah. And Klopp, man. What a magician. Like, with a pretty 4 or 5 first-team players missing, that second-half performance against City was something else.
Endo, man. I'm so impressed by Endo. I really wonder what Caicedo would have been like under Klopp's coaching. Like, you see, because nobody really rated Endo. Endo was on nobody's radar after, and he was so good that game. So impressed.
Yeah,
even Kwanzaa, Gomez, they were just fighting Bradley. The players you could see are playing above their ability. And that's what real good coaching does, right?
Exactly. And now they will have Darwin Moore. It looks like Darwin Moore, Trent, and Alisson. All four should be, Darwin's back already, but Moore should be fully fit, and Trent and Alisson should be back by the time Game Week 30 comes. So Liverpool will have those big dogs ready. And I do feel like that there might be a little bit of an advantage where they're focusing on Europa as the European focus, whereas City and Arsenal, you don't not play your first team when it comes to Champions League, right? So I wonder if that might be a slim advantage for a team like Liverpool, because they can afford to play a second choice team in Europe and a first choice team strictly for the league. So I wonder if that has an effect.
Yeah, once the schedule gets tight, games every 2 weeks and stuff, things will get interesting. Yeah. But let's talk about this week, man. So it's quite amusing that neither of us are on Free Hit on this podcast that is a Free Hit special. We had Pruss, who put out a video earlier, so you guys can get his views on his Free Hit draft. I can imagine it would have changed a little bit after the game last night. I was planning only to watch the first half, but I could sense that something was going to happen last night after Luton went 3-0. Because yeah. There's a team that you don't know what to do almost, right? Like when you're 3-0 up, I was wondering how they're going to come out in the second half. Are they going to sit back, try to defend and hold the lead? Because you know they're not going to go as hard as they did in the first half.
Yeah. It was interesting to see you actually stay up at like 1:30 in the night and watch the games. When I woke up at like 5 o'clock for a piss, I was like, exhaust messages are still up. So he ended up seeing the game. Quite surprising, because you're an early riser, right? Generally?
Yep. I still woke up at 6:30. I got only 2 hours of sleep. My alarm clock, that is my dog, goes off at 6:30 anyway. There's no snooze button. So I was up.
But I think it'll be interesting that both of us aren't on Free Hit. So we can sort of give like an objective, neutral view to what we think about the games, etc., and you know what people on Free Hit should be doing. We'll obviously talk about transfers at the end when we're discussing our teams. It's based on strategy, but yeah, let's get into it. Sponsor plugs first.
Let's do it.
Right. As usual, all the stats as well as tables and charts that you see on our podcast are from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. We've constantly said that, you know, it's one of the best places to find a lot of information in a small amount of time, you know, because not everybody gets time to watch highlights, etc. Not everybody gets time to watch games or match of the day even. So if you want a quick brief of what's happening, Fantasy Football Scout is the place to be. If you want to become a member, do click on the link in the description below, because we're affiliates and it helps us out as well.
And as you know, the FPL Wire has partnered with NordVPN. We've already mentioned in the past the privacy features, threat protections, access to global content libraries. You guys know about this. Now, this is the last week of their offer, which runs through the 20th of March, where you get a discount on 2 years membership, plus 4 extra months and some gifts. Now, what are these gifts? For the USA, UK, Australia, and Canada, users in these countries who purchase any of the 2 year plans will receive Uber Eats vouchers for $10, $20, or $30, depending on the package you select. For other countries, the deal includes 4 extra months on the 2 year plan plus a 3 month coupon to share. Sign up today. Ooh, let's get into it. And right at the top, guys, please like and subscribe. It helps us a lot. You helped us get to almost 1500 likes the last pod. And this way, LR doesn't have to mention the likes ratio later on. So we would appreciate you getting that in early.
Lovely, lovely. So I think what we're going to do is just give our thoughts game-wise. You know, I think everybody's aware of the numbers and stats when it primarily comes to these four games. But how do we actually see the games playing out? What we might think might be traps, some of the picks that might be overlooked in our opinion. And then once we discuss the four games, I think let's just build a draft together and see where we go.
Let's not go stats heavy right at the top. Russ went a lot into it. You guys can have a look at those tables and we will refer them a little bit right at the end. But probably if you want more detailed discussion, team by team, player by player, that video is the one you should look for. We are going to give more of our vibes feel, which players are picks. And there are a lot of things, I think, where you can differentiate. Because right at the top, right from what I am seeing, the free hit squads and the picks I'm seeing on Twitter, at least 8 to 9 seem to be quite common. But I think there is room to differentiate in some of these.
I agree with you. And you know, one thing I just want our listeners and viewers to know is that when you're trying to predict one game, and we're talking about 22 players on the pitch, the outcome is extremely rare. So don't be really scared to take a punt or two that if you're feeling, you feel like, you know, this wing back is weak and I feel like this player is going to be able to take advantage of him, back your instinct. Because predictability over four games, where you're backing just 11 players is random. So, you know, don't get too upset. I think it's also worth saying that you need to sort of amend your expectations, you know, where you go heavy on the favorites and they don't work out because it's one game. Anything random can happen in one game. So just keep that in mind.
We should mention that we're also recording prior to the European games on Thursday night. There's also going to be some ramifications with the likes of West Ham, Villa, etc. They go into extra time, penalties, etc. Those assets, accordingly, you would change your expectations. So caveat that right at the top.
Right. Cool. So first up, Burnley-Brentford. What are your thoughts on this game?
Now, this game has the best clean sheet odds on paper, and Burnley, very difficult, I think, to read. Again, I always back them to score. Even I remember the game against Bournemouth. They should have scored two or three goals there. Do you think Brentford now play a back four here or back five?
I won't be surprised to see them playing a back four in this game.
Me neither.
The only caveat is Burnley do like to hog the ball. Burnley do like to, and they've been better when it comes to attack off late, you know, where they're getting a higher percentage of possession. Your boy Fofana is quite a threat when attacking as well. I wonder if Thomas Frank is a smart guy. He's aware of that and sticks with five at the back just for this one as well. I don't think they need to go horses for courses all out attack in this game. I think sitting with five at the back and on the counter suits them when playing an opposition like Burnley. I think that might be different if they're playing a Sheffield United compared to a Burnley.
That's an interesting thought, because why I ask that, it affects, I think, multiple things. It affects Reguilón's prospects and Tony's prospects. And I just wanted to just quickly run through some numbers over here, because I think Wissa is an interesting option that's gone under the radar a little bit. Not so much in our Discord. I know Eno's been all over him, but let's just go some numbers over here. Now, this is the last two games. Tony's XG, 0.01, one shot on target from outside the box.
And then go to the previous one again. Also, just look at the touch map. Like, compare the center forward work that Tony's been doing to Wissa, who we're going to show later as well. Shout out to Baker for sharing this on our chat. And I thought it'd be a good thing to share on the pod as well. So you see those yellow marks on the right hand side. So on the left hand side, he's not doing as much center forward work as what you'd see Wissa doing later.
Similar trend over here as well. You see a lot of touches in the wide areas rather than the box. Again, an XG of just 0.09. XA slightly higher, 0.15. But do you think it's a little bit of, like, you know, initially it already came out with just the adrenaline thing carrying him forward? Or have you noticed anything different in the role he's playing?
I also think you take into consideration the nature of the opponent. So these two charts are from games against Chelsea and Arsenal. Now, if Thomas Frank wants to get something out of his team, you know, Tony, from outside of him being a class finisher, is just a really good hold-up guy. He's a really smart passer of the ball, pragmatic guy. So his responsibility in the team is a lot more when he's playing tougher opposition. I reckon he'll be at the end of more things when he's playing a team like Burnley compared to Chelsea and Arsenal. You have to give the teams that respect in terms of quality of opponent.
True that. Now, Wissa, again, XG number 0.4. This is against Chelsea where he scored.
And look at the yellow patches. Much brighter, bigger patches compared to Ivan Tony. And generally, whenever Tony and Wissa play together, Wissa is the guy who's in the center of the box a lot more than Ivan Tony is.
Correct. It's a bit different for Maupay. From Wissa, I think much more of a penalty box poacher. I think this actually might be the Chelsea game instead. I think I might have mixed the two up. But yeah, five shots over here for Wissa.
Yep. So my thinking is, right, I think given the opposition that you're playing in terms of Burnley, I think this is the fixture to attack. I think a lot of people are on double Brentford defense. I probably wouldn't be doing that. Because I am expecting Burnley to score. I genuinely think Burnley are good for a goal. And, you know, yes, they have the best clean sheet odds here, but their clean sheet percentage is 29% compared to 20 to 29%. That's the range for everybody except Fulham here. So it's not like it's a big range. You're not really, you're comparing 0.1 to 0.11. I think a little bit of semantics and your reading of the game and attacking potential for the defenders comes into play. I just think Wissa is underrated, because if you're asking me in terms of a good attack versus a weak defense, Brentford sort of jumps out to me. And I feel like Wissa is a good differential to go for in this game. And I wouldn't forego Tony, because I think when you're trying to play four games, getting good penalty takers in your team, getting people who are on direct free kicks, it's the small margins that sort of add up, which increase your odds scoring points, right? So I wouldn't let go of Ivan Tony on my free hit, but I would throw Wissa in there, because I feel like there's a brace potential in there. And literally out of the four games that I had to shout out, one player that I would shout that I think you should definitely try sneaking in there is Wissa. because he plays Burnley. He's not template, and I think there's potential for a double-digit haul, yeah.
I like that. But could you make an argument that Reguilón, treat him as an attacker? He's been shooting a lot. His shot numbers are similar to Tony in that sense.
Yeah. So get Reguilón, screw Flecken. Everybody's going for Flecken. Let him go. I don't think it's that big a deal. We'll find another keeper. I have my thoughts in terms of who I'd go for.
Other picks in defensive. Let me ask you right now, who is it? Who are you trying to go for?
Martinez.
Interesting. I was thinking of ignoring the Villa defense altogether. They've been quite poor of late.
Yeah, but not like Brentford have been any good either, right?
No.
We're talking about a team in the last 6, 7, 8 weeks of sitting probably bottom 5 for XGC.
Yep.
It's not like
both of them.
Yeah, both of them. Listen, if anybody can confidently point out of the 8 teams that this is a nailed on clean sheet, they're talking out of their ass. There is genuinely no nailed on clean sheet. There's no standout clean sheet fixture. On paper, Brentford might look like the likeliest, but I feel like there's more potential for goals than a clean sheet. And so I would go Regs. If you want to go Flecken also, because Burnley do tend to have a gameplay where they take a lot of low quality shots. So somebody like a Flecken could accumulate the saves. So take your pick between Flecken and Regs. I would go Regs. In the 6 starts he's had 7 shots and 6 chances created. Those numbers are really good. But I wouldn't let go of Wissa.
Yes, Reg is actually the one I fear as a non-free hitter because you just think that 15-pointer could happen. And he's been very unlucky not to find the back of the net so far. Most of his assists have been from shots, which the rebounds have been scored, right? And I've got the numbers up over here now. This is for the season. I wouldn't read too much into this because I think recently what we've seen, Brentford have lost a lot of their first-choice centre-backs. Your Pinnock and Mee are missing. And Villa also, they've been sort of destabilised now. They don't have McGinn. They don't have Kamara. So I don't know how much we can read into these season numbers at all.
And they have Thursday football. And both Thursday Villa football. Have West Ham. Yeah. So yeah, let's stick to Brentford, Burnley. If you're going with triple, would you go triple Brentford?
I think so. Because again, like what I'm trying to do if I was building a free hit, I try to like get as few cross plays as possible. That is where your attackers play or defenders. And ultimately, I'm not getting any Burnley assets. So naturally, I would like to go heavier on Brentford.
Yeah. And you know, one other thing worth citing out while we're just discussing the final margins is Burnley are terrible at set pieces also. So you do like Reguilón who's on corners. You do like Tony and Wissa. You know, Tony generally isn't responsible for the guy to put the ball at the back of the net on set plays. He's the guy they give it to first and he plays a sort of pass back through a header into the box for one of the defenders to or midfielders to score. So I wouldn't be surprised to see like a headed Tony assist in a game like this also.
I do think he's good, though. I don't think you should go without. A lot of people think of going without Tony as well.
No, not for me. I wouldn't. Too much class. Too much class. And you can't read too much into the last 3, 4, 5 games. Small sample size, man. Really small sample size. Even though he's looked a little off the pace, even though Wissa tends to do the more centre-forward work, you're talking about Ivan Tony.
Let's just give a fleeting mention to Burnley. Fofana, zero interest.
Not zero interest. If I was to punt on somebody from Burnley, it'd be Dimitri Fofana. Because he knows the back of the net.
Fofana, but yeah, same thing.
Yeah. Let's call him Dimitri, just like that. Just give him a broad name. He's got a good shot on him. He's scored a few in the last 4, 5 games. And Burnley, I wouldn't be surprised if Burnley gets more possession than Brentford. So
probably will.
I can see
Brentford
a game.
Like it.
Yeah, probably will. So Fofana could get 3, 4, 5 shots if you're on a good day, a couple of them go inside. I'm not against the punt. But nobody else from Burnley.
Yep. Move on to the next one.
Yep.
I think this is a big, big game. Now, the Luton would have gone above Forest if they won last night. And I think they're going to be very demoralized. It's the first time in 21 years that a team has from 3-0 up at halftime has gone on to lose the game. And second half, they offered absolutely nothing. Well, there were a few chances. But like, you know, Barkley should have scored. Morris had a good save of Neto. But in general, you could see that the team mentally was shrinking and the Japanese centre-back, he had a tough time. They have so many defensive injuries. You have a short turnaround also now from Wednesday, Saturday. I think you got to go heavy on the Forest attackers.
Or Luton attackers. There's also like the psychology, right? If you're down in the dumps. And it's a big game where it's basically a direct relegation rival. Like, if you're going to pick yourself up for a game, it's going to be this game. So, I wouldn't be surprised if they galvanize the troops for an opposition like Forest. You can't cite how important this game is for them. That it's basically like an Arsenal City of the relegation race, because actually these two teams are pretty high in terms of threat for relegation. Luton need to get 3 points here, so they will be going all out attack. Morris is a good shout. Defenders, I don't know, but I have no issues going with a Luton attacker in this game.
I
I
mean,
just don't know.
you
I
treat
don't
Doughty
have.
as an attacker, right? Because ultimately you need to put three defenders and you treat Doughty as an attacker.
You treat Doughty as an attacker, but you just don't expect a clean sheet.
No. But
Like.
again, somebody in our comments on Trust's video posted that Forest are in general quite weak at defending set pieces and aerially. So he said in particular, don't go without Morris and Doughty because he expects them to concede a lot of aerial chances.
Most number of goals conceded from set pieces this season, 18 Forest.
There you go.
Their underlying data on set piece XGC is not that bad, but they've conceded a lot. No. And the keeper, if you notice the last game also, he was a little poor in when it comes to collecting the crosses,
Yep.
etc. Even the goal that went off a defender, he's not commanding the area, etc. So yeah, you don't mind Doughty and Morris for that.
Yeah. None of the three keepers are really impressed right now. They have apparently three good keepers, but none of them really has nailed down the spot this season. But let's talk about Luton first. Which Luton players do you go for? I think you like Doughty and Morris. Is Morris a full lock to you? You would go Morris over, let's say, a Bissa?
I prefer a Visa.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Actually, the penalties count, man. Like, that's one thing I've learned this season. Like, throw the penalty takers in there.
Because you have to keep in mind, right, the third, like you're talking Tony, we discussed a lock. I don't think Watkins you're going to zag because, West Ham's
Yeah.
defensive data is not, they're not a good defense. So ultimately, the third striker spot is going to come down between to the likes of, let's say, your Muniz, Morris. Now, the Forest, we don't know if Taiwo, Wood, Origi, who's going to start up top. So you can't really go there.
You could get leaks, though.
Could get
If you
leaks. It's the
get a
first
leak,
kickoff.
if you. Yeah. If you get a leak that somebody like a Wood or Taiwo starts, take a punt there.
Pras was preparing for this week by a 69 score.
Wood's fit and Pras got a 69. Some things never change, man.
Absolutely.
Tough question, man. Well, what do you think? You would go Morris over Vissa, right?
I would. Again, because talisman, right? Because you look at the last, like what happened, weird thing, the last double. Six goals scored by Bournemouth, 50% goal involvement, Solanke, one goal. Four goals scored by Luton, Morris, 56% goal involvement, zero involvement. So you expect the data to somehow catch up, right?
You know what? I won't sit on the fence. I'll go Visa. I've just got an instinct about Visa. Shout out to Eno as well. I feel the same way. Because what also encourages me is not everybody's looking at Visa. Genuinely, not everybody's looking at Visa. So how do you make up 10 points on everybody else who's on free hit? I think Visa is the one who's got that high upside.
Good shout. So I think Luton, apparently the only other investable asset is Barkley, but I think the midfield spots are at a premium. You're probably not going there. But I think the Forest now, the wingers are interesting. Both Elanga and Hudson-Odoi, neither of them started against Brighton. And I think that was a mistake that Nuno made. He'd probably realize that this is a much more winnable game. And Luton struggled against Semenyo. They could not defend against pace at all. I think I like Elanga as a punt.
Just know that he has a little bit of a Darwin tendency where he gets a ton of chances. He gets a big chance a game. I mentioned it 3 4 times in the pod. It's just about whether he puts them at the back of the net or not. He's a little he's not very incisive as a finisher, but he will get chances, especially if Luton play three at the back and that leaves space behind.
Would you go there or would you go Gibbs White or possibly even go both with your with one less forward?
I'd go Elanga. Because I feel like actually it's the mistake I have made this season. It's tough again between Gibbs White and
Gibbs White is
Elanga.
like your
Because it's not.
dullard pick, where I think Elanga is obviously a much more Darwin-esque, more maverick, high ceiling pick right now. What Gibbs White has is he takes set pieces, but we don't know if he necessarily takes penalties. Now, let's say if Wood is starting, the penalty duties might shift over there. And again, I think just the space that these guys leave Luton behind, I think I really like the Elanga shout over Gibbs White.
It's the first time you're going sexy.
I've taken
over
four hits in a row, man.
Yeah,
clearly the Padres taker now.
Huh. Tough, man. I can't put my thumb on which way I'd go, because like one thing I want to do when I'm trying to improve as an FPL player is take finishing ability of a player into consideration as well. Because I get sucked into people that get a lot of chances but are not able to finish their dinner, right? So keeping that and penalties in mind, I'm going to say give sweat.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. That's interesting. We are on that side. But I don't really think you can't go wrong. But I do think that fourth or fifth midfield spot should be a Forest attack. I think the draft I've built has Kudus in it, but I made that prior to the games yesterday. I really think Luton are there for the taking because they do not have a fit defense at the moment. You get at them, they will crumble.
Don't like that as a double Luton defense owner.
I mean, I have Kabore and Dote. Do not like it, but it is what it is. At least
got you an assist?
Kabore assist, baby.
Yeah. There's some things. You and Kabore and Baker have a little bit of a connection going this year.
Yeah. So one last swing now.
Yep. Fulham versus Spurs.
This is an interesting one. Now, Fulham have gone under the radar. I read somewhere, I think somebody pointed on a Discord, if they don't play Broya this game, they're going to have to end up paying the $4 million. I think they'd rather pay it happily. If they wanted to, if they rated Broya, he would have started by now.
And how unfair would it be on Muniz to not start him after everything that he's been doing in the last 5-6 weeks, right? Like, he's really good. He looks good on the eye test. In the last 6 weeks, out of all the forwards on display, he's got the most shots and shots in the box.
Yeah. He's shooting he's taking shots like Maguire in Greece. So, all over the place.
And Fulham are going to get attacking chances, man. Like, they lost to Wolves, but they had a ton of chances against Wolves as well. So, I wouldn't take that as a... Yeah. So, if you want to punt on a Muniz, feel free to. You just don't have many open spots. So think about where and how you want to go. It's the third spot. Vissa, Muniz, like you mentioned, Morris, you decide where you feel like going.
I think the really spots where he can differentiate is probably third defender, fourth midfielder, third striker.
You could be a little more risky. We'll talk about the West Ham Villa game a little later.
If you ask me, you can even take Watkins on in a one-week thing. If let's say now Villa goes to 120 minutes, you could zag that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's your risk appetite, man. And also, like, somebody, this is where strategy and current position of rank and your rank goals comes into play also, right? Like, if you're somebody who's 40, 50 points behind your rank goals, you could take an extra risk or two. If you're somebody who's leading your middle leagues and wants to hold position or you're comfortable with your rank, you go more template. That sort of strategy now comes into play towards the last 8-9 game weeks of the season. But any midfielder pick? I just want to shout out Harry Wilson. I think he's got a little bit of an upside. I remember when Luke came on our pod talking about the promoted teams a couple of seasons ago. He was like, Harry Wilson was the Mo Salah of the promoted, the promotion league fantasy game. And he did really well. So, you know, they don't have that because... Then the midfielders that are playing behind Muniz, they're all interesting names, but none of them are starting first choice. They tend to get substituted. Willian was probably the one, but Harry Wilson could be a shot. I just think there are much better attackers elsewhere.
Head and shoulders over Wilson. Just the numbers he's been posting, shots and creativity. I think from the Fulham mid, he's the one to get.
Yeah. And Spurs will concede chances. They've kept... Just some numbers again, rattling them off.
No, Van der Ven is a big thing also, right? We should mention that. Because he makes really, he's so key to that defense. His pace is unreal.
Yeah. And Paulinho is fit.
He's getting benched.
I think that was just a little bit of a game. I think he starts the Spurs game. I just genuinely think he starts the Spurs game. But you know where everybody is thinking that this is 3 or 4 or 5 goals confirmed for Spurs are underrating what Fulham have been up to this season. Just wanted to add that. But let's talk Spurs, attackers, defenders. I mean, Son is a lock.
Son's probably the captain. Captain shout.
Yeah. Best captaincy option just because of the sheer finishing ability that the guy has. But let's talk other Spurs picks. And Madison first. We have a couple of interesting quotes.
Yep. But I'm not going to read it out, but just let us know what Ant says over here.
So the gist of... and Jen Madison both in these quotes is like, and just telling everybody that, you know, some of the players are improving, and somebody like Madison needs to be the furthest forward, and he needs to play further up the field. And even Madison has been saying that he likes playing under Ange, he likes playing this attacking brand of football. He wants to get into the box a lot more, and it's the best he's felt since his injury. He had a 0.75 XGI in the last game as well. So things are looking good. He spends a lot of time in the center of the box. And I was talking on the pod last week or the last week, where he's a little bit of a sleeper pick. And, you know, last week, that goal, I wasn't too surprised to see that goal on set pieces as well. Poro didn't take any of the corners. It was Madison who took them. So he's also got the routes to points. Spends time in the center of the box. I think it's a good pick.
Very good pick. I think he would probably be in midfield, my second preference. We had to rank the midfielders for this week. I think Sun first, Madison second.
Yeah, but just for people that want to take template on, outside of Son, you can take anybody on, in my opinion, in midfield. I think second, third, fourth, I don't think there's like a standout pick. Even Bowen, I don't think he's standout.
No, Bowen,
like
not, if you not have... at all. I think Madison is head and shoulders over Bowen, because as a Bowen owner for the last 2 weeks, I've been quite disappointed by in terms of the volume and just watching him on the eye test, because he's doing a lot of good work and he's creating space for others. Yeah. And he's not necessarily getting the short volume himself. And what's interesting, the last game is both Antonio and Inks came on. So we have to see what happens now in the Europa League. If Inks comes on, it's a very different profile of striker from, let's say, Antonio. For, you know, let's say if Antonio starts, I like Bowen a lot more. But if Ings does, not so much.
Right. And sticking to the Fulham Spurs game, you would have Madison in your draft. I would have to.
Absolutely.
He's probably going to be my transfer in. Third pick, I wouldn't mind going with three attackers in this team or letting the third pick slide. Because again, I won't be surprised if Fulham score. It's not a nailed on clean sheet.
But you have to get the attackers with upside, right? Ultimately, now what we saw the last game, now Spurs have actually changed things a little bit defensively. At least it was the case against Villa. Poro didn't get forward at all. It was all Udogi who was given the license to charge.
Yeah, so that's what. If you're on free hit, I would actually go Udogi over Poro. Poro is the better player, more quality, but Udogi is spending more time in the box. That said, okay, let's just talk bigger picture here. I think I would chance on the Villa guys getting a clean sheet more, because I feel like they're more attacking as well. The problem is it's a Sunday game and you're not going to get leaks. But if we knew that, actually,
you could make a guesstimate, right? From if somebody starting on Thursday, it's unlikely they're not going to play on Sunday, but it's a risk either way.
Yeah, I just think they're more attacking. And I think I fancy a clean sheet against West Ham, who also play on Thursday, more than I fancy a clean sheet against Fulham.
That's interesting.
Fulham are underrated and Spurs are leaky, man. Spurs don't keep clean sheets generally. And Van de Ven is missing. So, you know, it's all good and well and good and it looks good on paper. But I had chance with Villa more. I think you pick a team that you like for the clean sheets more and back them with a double up.
Your three Spurs then? If you're going to go three Spurs.
Son, Madison.
BJ?
And then if BJ or Udogi. One of the two. Whichever way you want to go. Because you have to judge whether you think Udogi is attacking enough. I think he's attacking enough. Poro's got quality. But I would probably swerve. I think there are like attackers I like elsewhere.
Yeah, I probably won't get the third attack. But I think Johnson is quite clear in terms of, I think he's going to start. And a good differential, good upside.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's about the creativity that comes in from Kulusevski's side as well, right? Brennan Johnson, whichever side he's playing, tends to be at the back post waiting for a goal. So I don't mind that as a shout. He's a genuine goal scorer in that team.
Correct.
Yeah.
Move on to the next one.
Yep.
West Ham, Villa. I don't think any of us are lucky on Douglas Luiz anymore.
Yeah, man. It's a big point to mention that McGinn is red carded. He's going to miss the next three games. That means that Villa don't really have anybody else to play as the most defensive-minded midfielder. So, Luiz's penalties and set plays and not much else. Q2 open goals again. going to happen. That's just what Douglas Lewis does. He's inevitable.
I mean, but, they have to shout out the Zabardi thing from Pruss. Pruss did that yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, he mentioned on the last pod, you know, that there's no way that Zabani is going to score. We mentioned also that his underlying numbers are actually better than Senesi's in the last 6 weeks. And then Pruss was like, no, there's no chance I'm going to say it. But see, Pruss is what happens. The law is the law. So Dougie Lewis, if you're a believer in the law. But West Ham Villa, man, I don't even know what West Ham are. What was that game? What was the last 20, 30 minutes between Burnley and West Ham where both teams could have scored a ton of
West
chances?
West Ham didn't come
man.
To play in the first half, right? This was a bit of worry with West Ham and the European hangover, especially if it's away. The next game, they always suffer a little bit. First 45 minutes, they didn't turn up.
Yeah, yeah. And Villa will be wounded tigers, yeah, I think. Like, having lost the last game, but West Ham like to play against teams like Villa who keep a high line. It suits them. They like playing against opposition who do exactly what Villa does. So there's going to be a lot of domination and ball possession from Villa, and there's going to be a lot of counter-attack from West Ham, and that's how the game is going to shape up.
Back four again for Villa?
Yeah, I think they go back to a back four.
I think
four.
He made
there's
a
no
massive mistake.
To...
He over-tinkered last game.
Yeah. But then who does he play in midfield? I don't even know. Dendonka? Is he
Dendonka
still at,
is not there at Villa anymore. They loaned or sold him out. They'll play that Irogine bomb. I don't even know how you say his name. Probably Tielemans. It'll probably be like, 4-2-3-1 with Tielemans and this one, Douglas in midfield.
Yeah. Fair. I'd still go Watkins. I just think he's... Him and Son are the best players on display in this game week in the league. So just by sheer quality and class, you take them on.
Yeah. I don't think it's worth swerving. I think there's literally like, because it could single-handedly ruin your free hit. And it's something I found out this week, right? A single player can be a difference between a green and a red arrow. If like the Palmer, for me, I didn't own him. It was a 22K red arrow. Otherwise, I'd have been on, let's say, if I did own him, something like a 10K green arrow. Just one player like that can be decisive.
The reason I fell from 200K about 6 weeks ago to 600K was because of Watkins and Saka. They're the quality of players that are capable of 15 plus points. And if that happens 2 weeks in a row, you're destroyed. So, you know, learn my lesson when it comes to really high class players, you know. So don't take Watkins on, maybe. Don't.
I think we changed that up. And I don't think any of the Villa fullbacks also, because there's a small chance that Cash still plays on the wing, but it's not a risk worth taking, I think.
Yeah. I just don't, like West Ham, I don't think still have clicked enough in attack. That's why I feel like Villa is a good clean sheet to chance. That's all.
So your picks. Yeah. Now let's talk about the West Ham mids a little bit. I think you have some numbers on Kudus.
Yeah, just generally, Bowen has the better attacking threat when it comes to goal scoring, and Kudus has the more assist threat. If I'm picking a West Ham attacker, it has to be Bowen. I just think he's talismanic. I think he's a great finisher. He's capable of braces in games. I wouldn't take on Bowen. I think the Aston Villa high line suits somebody like Bowen. Those are my thoughts. Kudus would be a second attacker if I was to go there, but I wouldn't swap Bowen.
I'd agree with that. I think that's pretty much it. I think from Villa, this you'd go Watkins. From West Ham, you'd go Bowen. You wouldn't really go defenders from either team. That way, you also avoid the crossplay.
I like the idea of Aston Villa defenders. Like Cash, or let's say somebody like a Moreno gets 90 minutes or even 120 minutes in Europe on Thursday.
Then maybe. Only then, like, I'm very confident that one fullback starts. And I wouldn't go Cash because he's just not attacking. He's not on it. I wouldn't go Cash. I would probably look at the left side.
Yeah, it's the Dean Moreno position. I wouldn't mind a punt there. And I don't mind Martinez as a keeper as well. Good keeper, capable of getting a few saves as well. So I don't mind that as a pick.
Right. So we've covered the free hit picks. Now let's talk something.
Leon Bailey, would you go there? His underlying numbers are really good.
I'm pretty confident he's going to start against Ajax. So again, it's not somewhere I would like to go. There are better picks there in midfield.
Is this West Ham or a team capable of crumbling? Like the defense hasn't been good this season. They've sort of been patchy for a mid-table.
They've been 17th, 18th, XGC. Just Adeola makes worldy saves.
Exactly. So they're a team capable of crumbling. So I wouldn't...
But at the same time, them conceding more than two at home? I don't know.
I don't see them. But like, you know, let's talk about which teams have the potential of crumbling. Burnley has the potential of crumbling. Luton has the potential of crumbling.
Even Forest, if Luton really get at them, not crumbling, but to concede three.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a read on Forest at all. I don't know what Nuno's been up to.
The data is somewhat decent. We saw that a few weeks ago, but they still seem to be shipping goals.
And Luton are at home. Yeah. Luton at home are just a different beast. And I think, especially after losing like how they did, like it's the wounded tiger syndrome. I believe in it. I think Luton are good for 2 goals.
Cool. Let's discuss those picks then. For the non-free hitters, who do you guys need to target? Because you also have to keep maybe your wildcard horizon of 30-31 in mind.
Sure. I mean, Spurs are top of the list.
Because of Luton and 30. Luton and 30.
Yeah, Luton and 30, right? Like, so buying, I'm probably going to be doing De Bruyne to Madison.
De Bruyne's injured, by the way. Did you read that quote? Apparently, he has groin injury. He's opted out of the international break. Belgium have said that he's nursing a groin injury and he's not fully fit. And this is so different. Now, earlier, he had a hamstring injury. So, this is a different muscle now.
I think there are three teams. If you're looking at a pool of players that have good picks in 30-31, I wouldn't mind Fulham also, because I remember they have a decent fixture.
They have Sheffield United in 30.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think there are two defenses that Fulham can take on. If you wanted to punt on somebody like a Muniz or Iwobi or Harry Wilson, there's Aston Villa, who have Wolves at home, I reckon, in 30, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, they do.
And there's Spurs. I think these are the three teams that you buy
and
players
Brentford
from.
Have Manchester United.
Yeah. Not a bad defense to play against. You know, we're still conceding chances at the back. So. At Brentford. So that's a difficult fixture. And we famously lost four or five goals.
At halftime.
Yeah, 4-0 at halftime. So, you know, you never know what happens in that game. So, yeah, these are the four players, teams that you target players from, if not wildcarding in game week 30. And one thing as a general advice also, you know, you need to pay close attention to the FA Cup games as well. And Pras is probably going to be doing a video immediately after the FA Cup games. Yeah. And one of us might or might not join him, where we'll have a landscape in front of us in terms of what 34 and 37 could potentially look like, which will determine chip strategy.
Yeah, I think we'll be getting the fixture announcements close to game week 30. And we should mention that game week 31 is a midweek. It's a Tuesday deadline.
Yeah. So unless you're wildcarding, there's no reason for you to make any early transfers at all after this game week deadline.
Let's discuss the free hit draft.
Yeah, sure.
This is our best teams. Yes, there you go. So I'll just read this out for the audio, guys. I'm sure you guys would have seen this all over Twitter and most websites. It's got Flecken and Reguilon, double up in defense, Doughty and Porro.
Okay, so now this is the defense draft. What would you do? Let's just do that as an activity.
I mean, I made the draft, so I would probably just change over here Kudus for, let's say, an Elanga or a Gibbs, right?
Let's talk defense. You would make the Porro to Udogie switch?
No, I love Porro. I'm loyal to Porro.
You love Porro. All right. I'd probably change Flecken to Martinez and Porro to Dean / Moreno. And back my gut of backing the Villa clean sheet.
So Reguilon and Doughty are the locks.
Reguilon and Doughty are the locks.
The keepers and the third defenders where you can afford to change. I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can afford to zigzag that, but I think for those two wing backs would probably both the left wing backs, I think, are simple picks. They take set pieces, take a lot of shots, you don't keep clean sheets, good goal potential. Yep. Now in midfield, I've gone here for Madison, Sun, double West Ham mids of Bowen and Kudus, and I think the locks over here for me would be the first three. The Kudus spot could be your Forest mid.
Yeah, same. Locks for me would be Madison, Sun, Bowen. I wouldn't switch any of the three of them.
I like Bowen, especially like you mentioned, against the high line, right? He's not as effective against a deep block like the Everton game we saw was a little bit difficult for him. But against this sort of game where you get some space on the counter, he could be good.
Just a mistake. I forgot to mention West Ham also. West Ham are decent picks this week as well because they play Newcastle at home next week, which is also a kind of opposition West Ham like to face. So you could buy a Bowen very happily for 2 weeks also, in my opinion.
True that. Yeah. Move on to the forwards.
Who would your fourth midfielder be? Come on, put your money where your mouth is. Where would you go?
From all Forest fans I've spoken to, Forest forums I've read, they all think Elanga will start. That's where I'd go.
Interesting.
Elanga, or let's say I put Gibbs White over here as a first sub. You could go either one. Again, it depends on the risk appetite. It's a one game. Anything can happen. For security of starts, 90 minutes, Gibbs-White as your man? Because even if Ilanga starts, 70, 75 minutes sub-offs are possible.
Well, I would punt on Harry Wilson just because it's the swivable spot. Just have a bit of fun. That's where I'd go.
I'd be IOB over Wilson if going to the Fulham bit.
And up top.
Up top, Tony Watkins locks.
Tony Watkins locks.
No, exactly.
I wouldn't
Watkins,
mind if
right?
somebody wanted to take Ivan Tony on though.
So you'd rather take on Tony than Watkins.
Yeah, quality of player, quality of attack of the team.
That's true. I reckon. That's fair enough. And what about Morris?
Yeah. I would go Visa. I would not compromise on Visa. He's my gut feel.
Small. Okay, cool. See, I think the third striker spot is probably where you can debate a little bit. And I don't mind the Visa shout at all.
Yeah.
And the bench is really just put like, it pretty much picks itself. Right now for this, for the audio guys, we've put in Leno, Gibbs-White, Soufal and Konsa. But you can just pretty much pick any guys. Now, Konsa is the most likely Villa centre-back to start. Soufal, again, is a little bit dodgy. Again, if West Ham play a lot of minutes on Thursday. But you should get like a definitely a good attacker for your for your eighth one.
And note, if one team is playing 90 and one team is playing 120, that would affect my perception of how I see the game on Sunday going.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you have to always caveat that. Anything else?
Let's go into our teams.
Yep, not much today to discuss. Otherwise, your team up first.
Yeah, it looks like a team that needs a free hit, but I'm prioritizing fun this season, and I don't see much fun in a free hit 29. And I want to just use a free hit in either 34 or 37 when there are higher ceiling picks on display. So I'm not going to free hit. If I was under 100K, I would probably considering free hit, but I'm sitting at 550K, so I'm prioritizing fun 30 onwards. My team's Kaminsky, Taylor, Van de Ven, Doughty, Son, Morris and Watkins. I'm looking at doing De Bruyne to Madison and probably looking at doing Foden to Bowen.
So you'll have no City mids or City attackers for the game against Arsenal?
That's the chance I'm taking. So it's a chance between Saka and Foden, and I've been burned by Saka too much. So that's the debate at hand here. Would you sell Solanke instead for a Visa Tony?
I was having a look at Solanke's fixtures right after the break. They're really good.
It's 1 week for me. I'm very
it's
likely.
1 week,
to,
right?
Tony
is again, Tony could go big, man, because the Burnley fixture, like we talked about, the two teams most likely to crumble are Burnley and Luton.
Yeah.
So I think you target the attackers against those guys. I think I would get Tony.
And let go of Jared Bowen.
Yeah, I'd let go of Bowen. Bowen, again, I'm not that convinced. As an owner, I'm very like, not say pissed
it's
off,
it's interesting
but
because you own Bowen for 2 weeks, so you do have that tunnel vision in terms of watching him when you're owning that player as well. So
he could have got just some assists the last game, but the goal threat was very negligible.
Fair. Cool. What are your team?
I just want to go back to your team. So you have, I'm just counting now. Let's just go really quick. 1, 2, 3, 6. I'm not counting Van de Ven because he's injured.
Yeah.
That's 3, 4, 5, 6 players, and one of them is Taylor.
Yeah.
So 5.5, we can call it. And you plan to add two more.
Charlie Taylor is going to get an assist. He's going to assist Dimitri Fofana's header. It's nailed on.
Fair enough. Okay. So you'll be basically rolling with, like, let's say, 8 players.
8 players. If I feel like an extra hit, I might get in regs if Van de Ven is definitely ruled out.
So somebody who's in your position, let's say if they do have 6 or 7 players, would you advise them taking a free hit or like get like, you know, a couple of attackers in?
I would advise taking a free hit. I'm not doing it because I don't care about rank at the moment and I want to chase high ceiling, but it's not a bad play. The smarter thing to do is to chase the free hit. I just don't have fun picking players like Bowen, etc. on free hit, which is why I'm not doing it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
My team, I've got Areola in goal, Kabore, Doughty, Poro, Cash in defense. I've already made one free transfer. I've done Huang to Madison. Sun captain, Bowen, Solanke, Watkins and Morris in there right now with Dubravka, Gabriel, Foden, Saka on the bench. So the guys on the bench, I'm pretty clear I won't be selling. I do want to keep them. There's a bit of value built in. And I think that game week 30 fixture, even though we think it could be KG, game state could have that game be high scoring as well.
Yep.
So Solanke to Tony will be the transfer for a hit. That should give me 11 on paper, but maybe like it ends up being 9 or 10 with injuries, etc., whatever.
Yeah. I think Morris is an interesting differential for both of us because not many people I'm expecting to go there on the free hit. You know, some people could swerve that position. So I think him coming in clutch is quite important for us.
Yeah, very close.
And the Luton defense.
As well.
If Luton somehow keep a clean sheet, we're in the money.
Nah, I'm not expecting that. If they get another assist each, that'll be well enough.
Yeah, fair.
Do you want to do a short Q&A or do you have to head out?
We'll do 5-10 minutes of a Q&A.
Cool. Let's get your questions in, guys. Pretty much in IB mode. So keep it light today.
While we're waiting, you know I have an auction on Sunday. If you were going to go all out in terms of bidding, which player would you go out for?
Rachindra, man. I told you, Rachindra is my boy. He's going to be the star of this IPL. Note this shit down. Yeah.
All right. Noted. Zoff is feeling good about Rachindra. All right. Abhinav suggested sell whoever you have less money invested in out of Saka and Foden.
That's right. I think most of us will have more money invested in Saka naturally. I know you bought him a bit late, but because Foden hasn't really risen that much.
Somebody suggested Konsa is starting for sure because he can't play against Ajax.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he would start for sure regardless.
Yeah. Tony as captain, somebody's asking. Let's talk a little bit of captaincy. If you were to presume that Fulham might be a difficult thing, who would be your second and third choice as captaincy?
It's an interesting question. Again, the Forest one, you wouldn't really like to go there because there's too much uncertainty. Watkins, potentially. But again, you're not really...
Bissa for me. He's got that upside.
Yeah, man.
I've got a feeling about Bissa, I'm telling you. Who do you go? Watkins, then there's Tony that people are thinking of as captain.
I think
captain.
Probably
would
Tony,
you go there?
Man. Because, yeah, I like the penalties, 90-plus minutes, etc. Probably Tony then. Tony would be third. I think Son, Watkins, Tony.
Morris, captaincy shot?
Nah.
Huh?
Too burnt from last night.
Yeah. Ashik is asking if Muniz is good to start both gate 29 and 30. I think, yeah.
We think so.
I think... Yeah,
I don't
too
think Jimenez will
in
not take
bank.
A spot anytime soon. And it's apparently Tony's birthday on Saturday. The chat's letting us know.
Ooh, interesting. Man, I think Ashik is thinking of wildcarding in 31. So he's targeting the Sheffield United fixture in 30.
So I think he'd probably go Muniz over somebody like Tony.
Yeah, mind that as a shot. Yeah, fair shot. Shivam is asking Haaland to Vissa for minus 4. What do you reckon?
I think you're the Vissa fanboy.
Yeah, do it, man. If you're wildcarding in 30, 31, then do it. Otherwise, don't.
Somebody's asking if Bumo is back, will he eat into Vissa's minutes? I don't think Bumo's back this week, but he might do it.
But he's likely to be back in 30.
Correct.
Oh. Okay, yeah. Good job. You already muted Mr. Yes. Troll. Somebody's asking about Werner on free hit. If you get a leak, I don't think he's likely to start.
I don't think AB will get a leak because the game's later. I think it's pretty much going to be BJ Kulu. Werner as an impact sub.
Somebody has 9 players with a minus 9. How do you get minus 9?
It's probably a typo. It's probably negative 8. He's corrected. He says negative 4. Then,
then you don't free hit, bro.
As long as you get most of your attackers, I'm guessing he'll have few defenders, but at least 5 or 6 good attackers. Stick with that. I think 9 is
stick
fine.
Stick with that. I agree.
What are the other opportunities for free hit alternate? I think it's very difficult to say right now. Somebody, Matty Winalot, is asking that. We can't really say whether 34 or 37 is what's going to be better without knowing.
But one of the two.
One of the two.
And you'll know. And you'll probably know before 30 which one.
Saurabh is asking us keep Richarlison if we get better news tomorrow. I think Richarlison, even if fit, he's going to be on the bench. Very hard to see him starting.
Yeah. And there's no guarantee he starts in 30 either. So yeah, Son could just continue playing.
Correct. I don't think the Brazil squad has been announced yet. I don't know if he's going or not.
Yep. Cool. We'll wrap it up now, Zoff.
Yep, right. Let's do it. Any parting words?
Make sure you like and subscribe and have a good international break and enjoy the IPL.
Right. We'll see you guys next week. We'll have do a short video either with some of us or just press, just discussing the fallout of the FA Cup games. Till then, enjoy yourself. Have a good break. And daylight savings will be back by the time Premier League resumes. So 1 hour less.
Oh, are you serious? That's yes. Great. That's can't lovely. Wait for that. That's lovely.
That should be yeah, great. Nice. All right, man. Good to see you again. Talk soon.
Likewise. Bye. Cheers. Bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.